First off, since this is being recorded, I want to say that this is completely my opinions. It does not reflect the thinking of Alcoholics Anonymous, Swacky Pa, or the Salt Lake City Sheridan. You know, my first time sobering up, I was about 20. And, you know, went to meetings, hung out with a few people, and it was based on a therapist. And then I decided, instead of doing that, you know, running from my troubles, I got to tour around the world in a musical ability, which actually went really well. And, you know, I didn't stay with the meetings, and I didn't stay sober. And then right about when I turned 22, I went to rehab and I got reintroduced to the 12 steps at a little bit more intense type of deal. And again, I got hung up on the second step because I was still very angry at God and I was not ready to let that go. I was not ready to find a new God. And I did remain abstinent, even though I stopped going to meetings. You know, didn't talk to a sponsor, didn't read the literature, didn't work the steps, and, you know, still did the music thing. And we came in off a tour, and I knew I was crazy. I knew the insanity level had risen and that I needed a program to help guide my recovery. And I walked into a, sounds like a Mamas and Papas song. I walked into a church, and there was a bunch of elder people. They were all wearing sport coats and ties, and here I was, you know, all 80, rock starred out, hair down to my butt, covered in leather trench coat, 95 degrees out. And a guy starts yelling at me, telling me I'm never going to stay sober unless I get a haircut and put on a sport coat and tie. Well, needless to say, I turned around and I left that. Now, I've later learned that group is a very influential group in California, and that gentleman has helped hundreds of thousands of alcoholics. It's just that he didn't have what I wanted at that time. And I didn't get back to the rooms for 8 years. I was able to stay abstinent a few more years. I eventually drank again, and you know, they talk about a progressive disease. In less than a week, I was further along in my disease than I was. You know, do I think Alcoholics Anonymous is a cult? Well, we chant. We try and, I wouldn't say the word instill, but we try and suggest our beliefs on one another. We all do have a common goal. And some of us are very anti-organized religion. You know, I mean, street gangs are cults. You know, if you're a Blood or a Crip, those are two different cults. They're very violent, criminally oriented cults, but they're cults. You know, I have a much better understanding of the program today than when I was that age. And for me, when I got back here this last time, again in my 20s, I knew I was out of answers and out of angles. And I knew I needed help and I knew I needed guidance. And I had the gift of desperation. And my willingness level was at a point where I didn't care if it was a cult or not. You know, if it was a cult, so be it. If it was going to help me stay sober and help me put some sanity and some manageability into my life, I was all for it. Now, Nests, you know, AA is very cliquish. Okay. You know, I mean, to me, life is cliquish. Some people are eyeing people, some people aren't. And, you know, in business, I get to be that chameleon. I get to be that people pleaser. I get to be that person that people want to be around, want to do business with. you know, and that's a gift of the program. You know, I could go and work a 10-step after a day of work and you know, feel good about myself. You know, for me, I've never identified with people that are my own age just because I don't have those things. You know, I don't have a lot of kids. I don't have a lot of ex-wives. And a lot of people that are my age have that. So I identify more with younger people that, you know, I just graduated college 5-6 years ago. Maybe a little longer, maybe like 10. But, you know, and let me tell you that the university is the biggest nest of all. They want you to, you know, they want you to pay through the nose and wear the football jerseys, even if they don't have a football team. And, you know, that's a whole different level, whole different outside issue. But, you know, and that was a gift of the program to be able to even go back to school. Before I got here, I couldn't put together 3 weeks at any type of formal education. I like going to lots of meetings. I try and practice principles above personalities. And sometimes it's hard. You know, sometimes if you go to the same place every day for, you know, a period of time, you're going to start developing opinions, for lack of a better word, on some of the members of that group, of that meeting. And there's sometimes, and I got this from a buddy of mine from New York. He'd be in a meeting, and when certain people would share, he'd just close his eyes. And I'd be like, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, well, you know, outside of the meeting, that guy's a stone-cold jerk-off. But, you know, he might have something to say that I need to hear, and because my opinion might be blocking that, I close my eyes, so I don't know it's him talking. And I get that. And, you know, I didn't get it then because I was pretty new, but I get it now. You know, there's sometimes I just got to close my eyes and listen to the message and not pay any attention to the messenger. I think home groups are very important. I think they keep you accountable. I think that, that, you know, to me, a home group, I never had a functional family. And to be honest with you, I think my home group is the closest thing I have to a functional family in life. And believe me, it's far from the definition of Webster's functional. But it is my family, and it's people that know me and know when something's wrong. When I don't want to cop that something's going on, and you know, I want to kind of, I'm worried about saving my face and saving my ass. There's certain people that know me that know that, and they call me on that shit. And I'm grateful for that because it usually snaps me out of a spiral or a funk that's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And, you know, when I got here, it got to the point where I didn't want to live anymore. And today, not only do I want to live, but I have a life worth living. And I have the program to thank for that. So I'll either hand it over to Ben or should I do the Q&A now? Sure. All right. Thank you for letting me share.